Good afternoon, brothers and sisters. It is a blessing that we may come together for the second time this day to worship our triune God and Saviour. Particular welcome to all members, visitors and guests who have joined us in worship via the live stream this afternoon. May the preaching of the gospel direct our hearts and minds in faith and trust to our Saviour, Jesus Christ, and cause us to live our lives to the praise of Him. Consistory has the following announcements. An attestation has been received for Brother Reuben de Jong from the Free Reformed Church of Mandijong. We welcome him into our congregation. Next week, Sunday, we will, the Lord willing, celebrate the Lord's Supper with two services in the morning, being at 9 a.m. and 11 a.m. Wards 1, 3 and 5 to attend at 9 a.m. and wards 2, 4 and 6 at 11 a.m. We've been advised that the Free Reformed Church of Armidale has extended a call to Reverend R. Bradenoff, minister of our sister church at Mount Missouri. And we've also been advised by the Free Reformed Church of West Albany that candidate Calvin Decker has accepted the call that they had extended to him. This afternoon, Reverend Poppy will lead the worship service. And before we commence this service, let us sing of God's great love and faithfulness, Psalm 89, verse 1.
Worship the Lord. We begin this worship service with a confession that our help is in the name of the Lord who made heaven and earth. Amen. Receive the greeting of the Lord. Grace to you and peace from him who is and who was and who is to come, and from the seven spirits who are before his throne, and from Jesus Christ, who is the faithful witness, the firstborn of the dead, and the ruler of the kings of the earth. Amen. Let's now sing a song of praise to our God. The theme for the sermon this afternoon is going to be the calling to give thanks to the Lord for the good things he has done. And Psalm 100 encourages us to give this thanks. Psalm 100, the verses 1 through 4.
Save me, bring back the soul.
In 1 John chapter 4, verse 2, there the Word of God says, "By this you know the Spirit of God. Every spirit that confesses that Jesus Christ has come in the flesh is from God." Well, let's do so this afternoon. Let's make a confession that the Lord Jesus Christ is indeed come from God. We're going to do that with the words of the Apostles' Creed as is set to music in hymn 1. Let's now pray to God, and let's ask God for his blessing over this worship service. Dear Father in heaven, we come before you and we wish to express our thanks to you. Thank you for being our God, and thank you that we may be your children. Thank you that you have revealed yourself in your word to us. When we read the Bible, then we can see who you are. We can get to know you better. We can grow in this fantastic relationship together with you. Such an amazing thing that you're willing to reveal yourself to us, and that you also give us your Holy Spirit so that we can understand what kind of a God you are, and that we can enjoy fellowship with you. Thank you, Father, that you tell us you take pleasure in us. Thank you that we also may have so much pleasure in you. But we also thank you that you have sent your Son into this world to make all this possible. It's only through Jesus Christ that we're able to have this relationship with you. It's only through the sacrifice of his death on the cross by which we can enjoy this intimacy and this friendship with you. We're really grateful for sending your Son to die on our behalf. We also want to thank you, Father, for all the other gifts that you give us as well. Thank you for faith and for joy, for hope, and for contentment. Thank you for the material blessings that you give us. Thank you for warm houses. Thank you for cars. Thank you for all the things that we ever need. We have running water, and we have good sewage, and we have the clothes that we need. We have all the transportation we need. We have education. We have jobs. We live in these beautiful cities where we have all the amenities of a modern life and of a normal life. We don't live in a war-torn country. We don't live in a time where there's civil unrest. We're so grateful to you for that, Lord. We wish to express our gratitude to you. Thank you also, Father, for the gift of fellowship. We have so many good relationships. We have good relationships with family members. We have good relationships with friends, with others in the community of the saints, and with others as well. And we want to confess to you that we understand that this is a gift of your Spirit, and so we wish to acknowledge that and give you thanks and praise. Thank you for this Sunday. We have a day of rest. Once a week, we can set aside our daily work. And thank you that we can come into your presence to meet together with you. Lord, our hearts are filled with gratitude for all the gifts of your grace. We wish you to know that we're extremely grateful, that we understand that we don't deserve it. We pray now, Father, that you would please bless us as we open your word together and as we consider all that you have done for us. We ask that our hearts may be moved to joy and gratitude because of the riches of your gifts to us. Please forgive us for the sins we've committed, and please bless our time together with you. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. So this afternoon I get to preach God's word to you concerning the Lord's gifts towards us and the gratitude we get to have to God for his gifts. We're going to look at that in Lord's Day 32. In connection with that, I'd like to read with you from the scriptures from Colossians chapter 3, the first 17 verses. So Colossians 3, we start reading at verse 1. We'll read the verses 1 through 17. You can find that on page 1169 of your guest Bible. So Colossians 3, starting at verse 1. There God's word says, "If then you have been raised with Christ, seek the things that are above, where Christ is, seated at the right hand of God. Set your minds on things that are above, not on things that are on earth. For you have died, and your life is hidden with Christ in God. When Christ, who is your life, appears, then you also will appear with him in glory. Put to death, therefore, whatever is earthly in you, sexual immorality, impurity, passion, evil desire, and covetousness, which is idolatry. On account of these, the wrath of God is coming. In these you too once walked when you were living in them. But now you must put them all away: anger, wrath, malice, slander, and obscene talk from your mouth. Do not lie to one another, seeing that you've put off the old self with its practices and have put on the new self, which is being renewed in knowledge after the image of its creator. Here there is not Greek and Jew, circumcised and uncircumcised, barbarian, Scythian, slave and free, but Christ is all and is in all. Put on then, as God's chosen ones, holy and beloved, compassionate hearts, kindness, humility, meekness, and patience, bearing with one another, and if one has a complaint against another, forgiving each other. As the Lord has forgiven you, you also must forgive. And above all these, put on love, which binds everything together in perfect harmony. And let the peace of Christ rule in your hearts, to which indeed you were called in one body. And be thankful. Let the word of Christ dwell in you richly, teaching and admonishing one another in all wisdom, singing psalms and hymns and spiritual songs with thankfulness in your hearts to God. And whatever you do, in word or deed, do everything in the name of the Lord Jesus, giving thanks to God the Father through him." So far. Let's now sing together. We're going to sing once again of the gratitude we have to the Lord for his gift, Psalm 145, the verses 1, 3, and 5.
Oh,
This afternoon, I get to preach to you the Word of God, where God teaches us how to respond to the gifts of His grace. He calls us to respond with a spirit of thanksgiving. We're going to look at what the Scripture teaches us, as that's also summarized for us in Lord's Day 32 of the Heidelberg Catechism. If you want to follow along, you can find that on page 548 of your Book of Praise. So Lord's Day 32 has this heading, the third part, our thankfulness. Since we've been delivered from our misery by grace alone through Christ, without any merit of our own, why must we yet do good works? Because Christ, having redeemed us by his blood, also renews us by his Holy Spirit to be his image, so that with our whole life we may show ourselves thankful to God for his benefits, and he may be praised by us. Further, that we ourselves may be assured of our faith by its fruits, and that by our godly walk of life, we may win our neighbors for Christ. Can those be saved who do not turn to God from their ungrateful and impenitent walk of life? By no means. Scripture says that no unchaste person, idolater, adulterer, thief, greedy person, drunkard, slanderer, robber, or the like, shall inherit the kingdom of God. Then after the proclamation of God's word, we're going to sing together from hymn 8, verse 1. Dear brothers and sisters, congregation loved by the Lord Jesus Christ, in the past 20 years, there's been a new branch of psychology that's developed. It's called positive psychology. Now, up to that time, most of the time, what the psychologists have focused on is how do you help people who have a diminished life? So let's say if you struggle with a mood disorder, if you are anxious or are depressed, then they try to find how to best help you. Or if you struggle with a dissociative disorder, you're not really sure about things that have happened and you have some dissociation in your mind, you forget certain events, then they try to help you with that. Or if you struggle with dementia or with Alzheimer's, then they try to help you with that. But with positive psychology, the focus changes. They're not only trying to help people who have a diminished life, but they're trying to help everybody. And the question is, how do we help the normal, average, everyday person to live a rich, a full, and a happy life? I'll use one example. There's an author, Sonia Lubomirsky. She wrote a book called The How of Happiness. And she reflects in this book that most people have a natural level of happiness in their life. It's kind of like you have a natural weight, or you have a natural level of, I don't know, athletic ability or something. Well, she says you have a natural level of happiness. But she says something that has even a bigger impact on your happiness in life is what kind of things you do and what kind of lifestyle you have for yourself. So for example, if you regularly show kindness to others, or if you focus on the good things in life, or if you forgive other people, or if you invest in relationships, If you get absorbed in enjoyable experiences, or if you savor the joys of life, if you commit to your goals, if you engage in your religion, and if you avoid overthinking your problems, then you're going to have a much happier life than otherwise. And, you know, when you read through that list, it's really interesting, because a lot of things on that list are familiar to us. These are the kinds of things that God talks about in his word. The sad part, of course, is that these secular scientists, they don't understand the truth of the matter. Since they don't know the Lord, they only have a beginning, an inkling of an understanding of the true joy and the happiness that God gives to his people. And you know, nowhere is that more evident than in one area that they emphasize in their research. These positive psychologists say that one of the most important parts of a happy life is being grateful. If you practice gratitude, that's what they talk about. So they say, let's say, one time a week you sit down and you think about things that you're truly grateful for. And then if you act on that, you write a letter to your elementary school teacher and you thank her for the great things that she's done in your life. Or if you express to your spouse how much you appreciate the meal that she made for you and the effort that you put into it. Or if you talk to your husband, you tell him how much you appreciate the time that he took to really listen to you as you were talking about your problems. Then they say that this is something that will lead to a much happier and a much better life. Well, these are all wonderful things to do. But again, you understand, brothers and sisters, that's just the start. One of the greatest callings in all of Scripture is that we are people who express to God our gratitude for the riches of his grace. This is one of the most foundational callings of the Scriptures. God says, I'm a God who loves you. I'm a God who shows you grace. I'm willing to forgive you, and I'm willing to have a relationship with you. And the most important thing God says that he wants in response from us is he says, I want you to be grateful. And I want you to express that to me. And you know, if you live that life, then you understand true joy and true happiness. Well, today we come to Lord's Day 32. It has us heading the third part, our thankfulness. You know, the Catechism follows the pattern of Scripture. If you read through the book of Romans, then there's three sections to the book of Romans. Romans 1 to 3 talk about how sinful we are. Romans 4 to 11 talks about how God has forgiven our sins as an act of free grace. And then Romans 12 to 16 talks about how to respond to that. And it starts with those words calling us to a life of thanksgiving. Since God has saved you from your sins, what he wants for you more than anything else is that you thank him. The words of Romans 12:1, I appeal to you therefore, brothers, by the mercies of God, to present your bodies as a living sacrifice, holy and acceptable to God, which is your spiritual worship. Give your body, give your life as a sacrifice of thankfulness to God. That's the most important thing God wants for you. And so we've structured the Catechism on that. Lord's Day 2 to 4 is about sin and misery. Lord's Day 5 to 31 is about the deliverance that we receive in Christ. And Lord's Day 32 to 52 is about our thankfulness. If you want to use the words, sometimes you find about the book of Romans or about the Catechism. First, it's about guilt, then about grace, and then about gratitude. Or you could also say, first it's about sin, then it's about salvation, and finally it's about service. Well, this afternoon we get to look at what a life of gratitude really looks like. And I preach God's word to you with this theme: the Lord calls us to be grateful for his grace. We're going to see in the first place the expression of gratitude, and then secondly the need for gratitude. So if I could ask you, brothers and sisters, how often does it happen that you express your gratitude to the Lord? You understand, of course, that this is one of the most foundational things that God calls us to in his word. He's extended his grace to us, and he says, what I want you more than anything else is I want you to recognize that and to show that by expressing your gratitude to me. It's a theme that God gets back to over and over again in the Bible, and I'd like to look at this theme as the Apostle Paul develops it in the book of Colossians. So I invite you to open your Bible with me. We're going to see that this is something that Paul refers to on several occasions in this short book. We're going to start in Colossians 1. So in Colossians 1, he starts off this chapter, and near the very beginning there, it's in Colossians 1, verse 3, that the apostle says, "We always thank God, the Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, when we pray for you, since we heard of your faith in Christ Jesus and of your love that you have for all the saints, because of the hope which is laid up for you in heaven." So the very first thing that Paul does is he starts by himself expressing gratitude to God for the gifts of his grace. God has been very kind. And when I see the faith that you have, and when I see the service that you offer, when I see the hope that you have in your hearts, I just have to thank God for you and for what he's done in your life. And then the rest of this chapter, he kind of spells out how Jesus Christ has really helped these people. Christ is supreme, he has the power, and he rescues them from the forces of darkness. The people living in Colossae, they were really quite terrified of the spiritual forces of darkness. And so God rescues them from that. He reminds them of the power of Jesus Christ to save them. And then because he's done that for them, then the Lord also calls them to show him their gratitude. He talks about that in chapter 2. If you go to 2 verse 6, it says there, start reading in chapter 6 and we'll read verses 6 and 7. "Therefore, as you received Christ Jesus the Lord, so walk in him, rooted and built up in him and established in the faith, just as you were taught, abounding in thanksgiving." So there's a calling here to be abounding in thanksgiving as you consider who Christ is and what he's done for you. And you understand that, brothers and sisters, if you really think for yourself about Christ, if you really understand the riches of his grace towards you, then you have that sense of gratitude. Then in your heart, you know, you realize what a great thing it is to be God's child. And you really want to express that to the Lord your God. And then in chapter 3, the apostle builds on that. In the first verses of that chapter, he calls us not to set our minds on earthly things, but to set our minds on things that are above. And then the way we are to put that into practice is we're to put to death the earthly passions. And instead, in verse 12 and following, he says we're to put on the new spirit, the new heart. And then he talks about the kind of things that it includes. And I'll read with you, maybe starting in verse 15. Colossians 3, verse 15. "And let the peace of Christ rule in your hearts, to which indeed you were called in one body, and be thankful. Let the word of Christ dwell in you richly, teaching and admonishing one another in all wisdom, singing psalms and hymns and spiritual songs with thankfulness in your hearts to God. And whatever you do, in word or deed, do everything in the name of the Lord Jesus, giving thanks to God the Father through him." In these three verses, he calls us three times to be thankful. The Christian life is a life of thankfulness. It's a life where you reflect on what God has done and you express your gratitude to him in word, in deed, and in song. And the apostle gets back to that a little later. If you go to the next chapter, chapter 4, verse 2, there he says, "Continue steadfastly in prayer, being watchful in it with thanksgiving." And so God wants us to be faithful, to be steadfast in prayer. And one of the central part of our prayers is that we also regularly thank God for the gifts of his grace. And so when you look at it, brothers and sisters, when you think about it for your own life, would you say that this is an accurate reflection of the kind of person who you are? In your real life, do you like to sing? Psalms, hymns, spiritual songs, giving thanks to God for everything he's done for you? In your real life, if you reflect on your prayers, do you often include different things in your prayers for which you're truly grateful to God? Do you often say to him that you thank him? You explicitly acknowledge your gratitude for the different things he's done for you? I know that you often do that. In my conversations with you, when I talk with you, there's a lot of you who really have a lot of gratitude in your hearts. You recognize how good it is to be a child of the Lord, and you often speak about how grateful you are to God for the many gifts that he gives you. But then, you know, it also happens that at times it's difficult to keep that perspective. Sometimes it happens to us that life's really tough. And when you're doing it hard, then you can be in this place where it's hard to maintain a spirit of gratitude and of thankfulness to God. You know, sometimes life doesn't turn out the way that you hoped. If your hopes are dashed, it's hard to be thankful. Or sometimes it happens that you struggle with the power of sin, or you struggle because of sickness, or you grieve the loss of loved ones, or you experience judgment from family members, or you have broken relationships, or you have mental health issues, or your job isn't turning out the way that you'd hoped. It's when you're in those kind of situations, then sometimes you focus on the difficult things. They fill your mind. And you go to bed at night and you think about those things. And you wake up the next day and that's what you're busy with. And then when you pray, you don't often think about the things that you're thankful for. When you pray, your prayers are often focused on the difficult things. And so your life can be absorbed by the trials and by the difficulties of life. And you know, it's really dangerous when you get into that place. Sometimes it can happen that you, because of the suffering, because of the struggle that you're in, that you kind of lose your perspective on life. Some people get bitter. They hardly ever talk about the good gifts that God gives them. If ever you talk to them, the thing that you often hear is they're complaining. They're dissatisfied with what's happened, with how people treated them, or how their life turned out. They're always talking about that. There's quite a bit of grumbling and complaining that's going on in their lives. Has that ever happened to you, brothers and sisters? It's interesting. One of the themes that God develops in the Bible is that he often tells us to be thankful in every situation. He doesn't say, be thankful when you have good things. He actually says, be thankful no matter what your circumstances may be. And that's a theme that comes back over and over again, especially in the letters of Paul. We already read from Colossians 3, verse 17, and whatever you do, in word or deed, do everything in the name of the Lord Jesus, giving thanks to God the Father through him. Do everything in the name of the Lord Jesus and give thanks to him. And then Ephesians 5, he kind of builds on that. He has a similar calling there. Do not get drunk with wine, for that is debauchery, but be filled with the Spirit, addressing one another in psalms and hymns and spiritual songs, singing and making melody to the Lord with all your heart, giving thanks always and for everything to God the Father in the name of our Lord Jesus Christ. Giving thanks always and in everything. From Colossians 1 Thessalonians 5, verse 16. Rejoice always, pray without ceasing, give thanks in all circumstances, for this is the will of God in Christ Jesus for you. Or again in Philippians 4, verse 6, do not be anxious about anything, but in everything, by prayer and supplication, with thanksgiving, let your requests be made known to God. Always, in everything, be thankful for what God does for you. Was it realistic? Can God really say that? Can he expect that of us? If you're sick, if you're estranged from your family, if you're really grieving loss, can you expect to have to give thanks in those circumstances? If someone's badly mistreated you, or someone took advantage of you, someone's you really broken relationship, broken faith with you, are you still expected to give thanks? You know, how are we supposed to work with that commandment? Well, maybe it's helpful to answer the question to go back to the Old Testament. If you go back to the word that's used for thankfulness in the Old Testament, then you see that this is a word that at root has the meaning of to acknowledge. At root, it means that you acknowledge to God with gratitude for what he's done for you, the gifts that he's given you. At core, thankfulness is expressing acknowledgement. And actually, this word, a few times, it's even used of acknowledging sin. So it's not that you're thankful for sin, but it just means that at core, the root meaning of the word is to know God, or even to know your sin. Well, that's what stands at the heart of being thankful. If you want to be thankful, then at the very core of it, you need to know who God is and what God has done for you. You need to focus your attention on the Lord. And that's probably the single best thing that you can do, brothers and sisters. If you're in really difficult circumstances, then it's easy for those circumstances to become the big thing in your thinking. You think about how you've been mistreated, or you think about what you've lost, or you think about the hope that's been dashed. But God tells us here, he says, if you want to be thankful, then you need to think about the Lord. You need to acknowledge, you need to know what he has done and what he's doing for you in this circumstance, in this situation. And then the second thing that's really interesting about this word for thankfulness in the Lord, in the Old Testament, is that this word always expresses thankfulness to God. You never once read in the Old Testament of a person thanking another person. It never happens. And the reason for that is because the focus is on what God has done for you. If you're knowing God, and if you're acknowledging what God has done for you, then at the end of the day, then the focus is always on the Lord. You know, in the New Testament, it's similar. The New Testament word for thankfulness and thanksgiving, it again, it always focuses the attention on God. There's actually a few exceptions. There's three exceptions. It happens three other times where the apostle thanks other people. But for the rest, I don't know how many hundred times that word is used in the scriptures. For the rest, it's always focused on the Lord. And so you can read that, for example, even at the beginning of the letters that the Apostle Paul writes to the churches. He wants to thank them. He wants to acknowledge what they've done. But he doesn't say, you know, thank you for the great things you've done for me. But he always says, I thank my God for you that you have done this, or for your faith, or for your hope, or for your joy. And so the focus is always on the Lord, on who he is and what he's done for his people. You know, at core, if you have that perspective, if you focus your attention on the Lord, then it's far easier to maintain a spirit of gratitude. Because the truth is that the Lord is faithful, and that the Lord does love you, and that the Lord does look after you. It's not to say you don't have difficult things. You know, when you go through difficult things, it's not as if you have to pretend that that didn't happen. God doesn't expect that of us. If you have difficult things, then it's really important to face that and to grieve that. And the scripture calls us to weep with those who weep. If you have somebody who's really suffering in a situation, then we go alongside of that person. We don't say to them, listen, you need to be happy, you need to be thankful. But you weep with them. And you grieve with them what they've lost. And you ask God to comfort them in that situation. And then you also call to mind what God has promised to them in that situation. And as you call the Lord to mind, and as you call his promises to mind, then they can find that comfort. And they can return to a spirit of gratitude and of hope. And so, you know, at the end of the day, the real question is, what has God done for you? Well, if you ask that question, then the list gets pretty long, brothers and sisters. Now, we live in a time, if you look at it from a physical, material perspective, we live in a time where we received just incredible blessings. There are few people in the history of the world who have the kind of lifestyle, the kind of quality of life that we get to experience these days. We have a length of life that's unprecedented. We have health and strength that's unprecedented. You know, if somebody loses a baby shortly after birth, and that's a huge tragedy. That's something that's virtually unheard of in our time. Where in previous centuries, that happened all the time. Every family could tell you about a child or a number of children that they lost during childbirth. There's enough families where the mom died during childbirth. If you think about the clean water and the sewage that we have, if you think about the kind of services that our government offers us, every morning or once a week, you can leave your garbage at the roadside and it gets picked up and it gets cleaned up. You never have any diseases. You don't have all the garbage. You don't have all the rodents and the other problems that come along with garbage around your house. What a gift and what a blessing. And what a joy to live that kind of lifestyle. We have these large homes. If you look at the sizes of houses in the last 70 years, the house size continues to grow. It continues to expand. And here in Australia, actually, the numbers are that the house sizes are even bigger than in America. And while the house sizes are getting bigger and bigger, the families are getting smaller and smaller. And so you have less people living in larger houses. These are all blessings that God gives to us. You know, we eat food from around the world. If you want spices or if you want food, in ancient times, it was kings who received those kind of special treats. But in our society, we all get that kind of stuff. You can go to the local Coles or Woolies. You can pick up any kind of spice from anywhere in the world. You can virtually eat any kind of food from anywhere in the world. And it's not that expensive. If you think about our life from a physical material perspective, we have so many reasons to be deeply grateful to God for the riches of his gifts towards us. And then on top of that, there's so many other spiritual blessings. The Lord blesses us with faith. He gives us hope. And he gives us love. The Lord blesses us with his Son. He sent his Son to die on the cross for us. And he gives us his Holy Spirit so that we may believe in him, that we get to share in him. He gives us his promises of his love and care for the future. He says, you don't have to worry about the future because I'll take care of you. Just trust me and I'll look after you. We have such a rich God who does so many things for us. We have so many reasons for thanksgiving. If you think about that, if you realize that, then you understand that this is one of the main themes that the scripture develops. If you look at the book of Psalms, Psalm is always about the experiences of life of God's people. And one of the biggest themes in the Psalter is the theme of thanksgiving. There's dozens of Psalms that have as major theme the expression of gratitude to God for the gifts of his grace. I'll just refer to a few of them with you just to illustrate. We sang together from Psalm 100. Enter his gates with thanksgiving and his courts with praise. Give thanks to him, bless his name, for the Lord is good. His steadfast love endures forever, and his faithfulness to all generations. The Lord is a God of steadfast love and faithfulness. So the psalmist calls us to thank God for that. Call that to mind and thank him for what he's done. Psalm 105, the Lord is thanked for fulfilling his covenant promises to Abraham. Psalm 107, he's thanked for saving his people in the desert, or in stormy seas, in foreign bondage, and in disease. Psalm 145, he's thanked for his grace and compassion, along with his gifts of food and help for those who call on him. In Psalm 146, the focus is on people who are suffering. He's thanked there for helping the oppressed and the hungry, the prisoners and the blind, those who are bowed down, and the alien and the widow. In Psalm 147, he's thanked for healing the brokenhearted and for giving his gifts of peace to his people. Now, this is one of the key themes that God develops in his word. And it's so interesting, in between there's also about a dozen psalms where there's profound expressions of gratitude when people are suffering immensely. There are these really difficult circumstances, and yet they still thank the Lord. And the reason they thank the Lord is because they trust him to help them during that time. I'll just use one example to illustrate. It's in Psalm 7. David's being pursued by this man from Benjamin. His name is Kush. And this guy just wants to kill him. Literally, he wants to destroy David's soul. When David's in that situation, then he calls out to God for help. And at the end, he recognizes that the wicked man is going to fall into the pit he digs, and his violence is going to descend on his own head. And because David is sure that God's going to help him, he ends off with these words of thanks. He says, I will give the Lord the thanks due to his righteousness, and I will sing praise to the name of the Lord, the Most High. I don't know many of us here, if any of us here, have ever had somebody who wants to kill us. You can imagine it'd be a mite distressing if that happened to you. But David just has this thanks in his heart because God is righteous, because God's going to help him. And he's sure in God's love and care. Do you understand how the Lord calls you to gratitude in every circumstance of life, brothers and sisters? Now, probably the most important thing for us to remember is that the external circumstances of our lives don't form the core of our existence. And no matter what the external circumstances are, the foundational reality of our life is that the Lord is our God, that we are his people, that he's extended promises to us, and that he's going to fulfill them. He sent his son to die for you, and for Jesus' sake, he's going to care for you, and he's going to bring you into glory. If you remember that God isn't angry with you, if you remember his kindness to you in Christ, then how can you do anything but live a life of gratitude before him? Understand how displeasing it is to the Lord also if you're not grateful, brothers and sisters? Sometimes we get this spirit of entitlement. We think we deserve certain things. We look at what other people have and we want it for ourselves. And we're discontent. And we grumble and we complain. And we think that God owes it to us. And the really serious thing about that is if you allow that to get hold of your heart, if the entitlement takes a hold of you, then in the end, that often leads you to all sorts of different kinds of sins. You know, what is it that leads some child to disobey his parents? Or what leads to stealing? Or what leads to someone committing adultery? Or what leads to discontent? Well, at core, it's ingratitude. You know, if you let that happen, if you give your heart over to that, then you're done. Then you're not a child of the Lord. Our confession is really clear about that. It summarizes the scriptures. Those who are ungrateful, those who are impenitent, will not share in the kingdom of God. If you're ungrateful, if you're impenitent, then really the way it works out in your life is that you think you deserve better than what you have. And then you're going to get that. And you're going to do that. And you're going to live the way that you want to live, the way that you deserve, you think you deserve to live. And then sin becomes normal. And it becomes hardened in your life. Well, in that kind of situation, the Lord says, if you're a thief, if you're a greedy person, if you're a drunkard, if you're a slanderer or a robber or anybody like that, then you're not going to share in the kingdom of heaven. You know, it's in this regard that we're seriously attacked at this time in our lives. We live in a world where most people around us are really materialistic. There's a huge emphasis on external things. We're always being encouraged in the advertising to buy what's new and to enjoy the good things in life. Or if you're on Pinterest, isn't it true that your Pinterest feed is full of these beautiful pictures? People have these beautiful homes that are nicely decorated. They have all the latest furniture and they have all the nicest appliances and everything matches and looks really pretty. Or if they have a party, they arrange this party and everything is just elegant and it's stunning. And it blows you away. And then you go home to your home, and everything's a bit old and dumpy. And you got all this extra stuff that doesn't fit in your cupboards, it doesn't fit in your shelves, so it's lying all over the place. And you look at your house, and you think, well, that doesn't look anything like the pictures. And somewhere in your heart, you get a little spirit of discontent. Now, your furniture is beaten up. Your appliances are getting old, and your wardrobe is a bit mismatched. It's so easy to become discontent. Do you understand how much we need the help of our Lord Jesus, brothers and sisters? When Christ came into this world, you know, if there's anybody who could have had a spirit of entitlement, it would have been Jesus, because he was entitled. He was Almighty God. He was worthy of glory. He was worthy of honor. He was worthy of everything. But when he came into this world, he sets that aside, and he's willing to be a human being and to suffer immensely. And he's willing to have the most brutal life that anybody ever had. He's willing to suffer the wrath of God against the sins of his people. And yet not once does he complain. Not once is he discontent. Not once is he greedy for something different. The devil tried to stick it to him on that. You know, if you are the Son of God, Just throw yourself off the temple, and everyone will see your glory and your majesty. Or just kneel down and bow down to me, and I'll give you all the kingdoms of the world. But Christ resisted. And in doing so, he offered perfect righteousness, perfect obedience to his Father. And so for the times where we are discontent, and for the times where we're ungrateful for what God has given us, we can go to him, and we can say to God, God, I've sinned, and I'm sorry, and I ask you to forgive me. And I trust in Jesus Christ, and I know that my Savior has done for me what I could never do. But I believe that he has the power to help me, and I believe that you will forgive me for his sake. You know, if you rely upon him, brothers and sisters, he'll do that for you. He'll forgive your sin, and he'll give you his Spirit, and he'll make you into a new person. And when you become that person, then the external things won't matter as much. They won't have the same kind of power over you. What will matter is not what you have, but what will matter is who you are. And who you are is a child of the Lord. You're loved by God, and he's bringing you into glory. And when you have that, then you have every reason for thanking God. That your heart can be full of joy, that you can do all these things for God as expressions of gratitude to him, that you love to sing to him, and you love to tell others about the great deeds that the Lord has done for you. Well, let's pray to God for rich measure of his Spirit, and let's live a life of gratitude before him. Amen. Let's sing together, praising God for his gifts to us, hymn 8, verse 1. Now pray to the Lord in thanksgiving. In our prayer this afternoon, we're also going to remember someone who's a visitor in our midst. She hasn't actually worshipped with us too often. Her name is Margaret Harrison. She's been here worshiping with us on occasion, and then she's also been following along with us for the past months. And she's in the hospital right now with some serious health concerns. She's been hospitalized for a couple of weeks. So we'll also ask God to pray that he would help her during this time and comfort her. Let's pray to God. Dear Father in heaven, we come before your throne of grace and we wish to express our gratitude to you. You are so kind to us. You're a God who looks after us and who provides for us, and we experience that. We live such a good life. We have all the material things that we need. We also have so many spiritual gifts that you've given to us. Thank you for your Son, and thank you for your love for Jesus' sake. And thank you for carrying us. Thank you for the peace of heart that you give us. Thank you for the hope that we have for an eternal life. Thank you, Father, for the contentment that you work in our hearts. At the same time, Lord, we have to confess to you that sometimes we are discontent. Sometimes it happens to us that we give sin a place in our lives. We focus our attention not on you and what you have done, but we focus our attention on the difficulties that we face and our disappointments. We sometimes have the spirit of entitlement, where we think that we deserve better, that we deserve to be allowed to be grumpy about our circumstances. Lord, please forgive us for that, and please show us your grace, and please make it different for us. Give us your Holy Spirit so that we recognize what you have done for us, that we humble ourselves before you, and that we seek your face. Father, please Accept the righteousness of Jesus Christ in our behalf, and please show us your favor for Christ's sake. Work in our hearts with your Spirit and renew us so that we love to sing to you, that we love to pray to you, and we love to express our gratitude for everything that you've done for us. Lord, it's such a refreshing thing to be around people who are really grateful, people who never complain, people who are able to see the good things that you're doing. We pray that we may be those kind of people. And we ask that in doing that, Lord, that we may be a blessing to others around us, that we never drag people down, but that we're also a blessing to others, and we encourage them, and we build them up in their lives and in their faith. Lord, thank you for your help in this. We also come to you, Lord, and we pray that you would still help us with the difficult experiences that we have in life. Many of us struggle in different ways, and we pray that you would carry us through that. And then as we experience your love and care, please grant that we may accept it from your hand, and that we're able to live with it. Father, we pray that you would also be with this visitor among us, Margaret Harrison. We ask that you bless the work of the doctors. They'd be trying to help her, and she's in a very serious way at this time. We pray that you would also, Lord, that you would give her a rich measure of your comfort and of your peace, that she may know that you are her God, that she may look to you in faith and receive your grace in her life. Lord, please grant that she may receive relief and that it would go well with her. We also pray, Lord, that you take care of the people in the eastern states. We read in the news every day about a very serious situation that's developing there. They're back down into a more serious lockdown again. We want to entrust people to your care. We ask, Lord, that your people would call upon you, and that you hear them when they cry to you, and that you would help them in their circumstances. And we pray, Lord, that you would use this so that many other people may look to you, that when they're in difficult circumstances, that they not give in to despair, that they not give in to anxiety, that they not feel alone and isolated, but that they may realize that there is a God in heaven, and that they may call upon you and seek your face and then receive your grace. Dear Father in heaven, we pray that you would care for your people around this world. Please also be with the doctors and with the nurses and the other healthcare professionals. Please grant your blessing over them and assist them so that it may go well. When we see what this virus is doing around the world, then we see how it continues to increase and progress. We see what an impact it has in many people's lives. Dear Father in heaven, we ask that you would please also use this for our good and for your glory. And we pray that with good hope and confidence, because you are the King, and because you have the power, and because you've promised that you work all things out for our good. Dear Lord in heaven, we also wish to thank you for the gifts that you've given to our churches. We're really grateful for the Church of West Albany, that Brother Kelvin Decker has accepted the call there. I want to ask, Lord, that you would please bless him as he prepares to take up his work there. Grant that he's able to go to classes and that may go well for him. And then please grant that in due time that he can take up his calling. And please also be with the vacant churches. We think not only of West Albany at this time, we also think of the church in our classes of Lagana. We pray, Lord, that you would make the way open for them to receive Reverend Dan Hollander. Grant that he may get the paperwork approved that he needs, and that in due time he can also take up his task here in Australia. Father, we also bring Reverend Bradenhoff before your throne of grace as he considers the call from Armidale. We ask that you would be a father to him, and that you bless him with wisdom and insight. Grant that he's able to consider the needs of the congregation, and that he's able to make a decision that honors you and that gives peace to you. And then we also pray for the Church of Armidale, Lord. We ask that you sustain them during this time where they don't have their own pastor and teacher, and that you answer their requests that they may receive a man to proclaim your word to them. And we also think of the church in Baldivis. We pray, Lord, that you be near to the brothers and sisters there. We also ask that in due time that they may receive their own minister. Father, thank you that you are our God, and thank you that you lead and guide our lives, and that you use all things for your glory and for our good. I want to ask also, Father, that you would please be with the missionaries. Please bless them on their way. Grant that they may be faithful in doing the task that they're doing. We think of Reverend Ryan DeYoung. We also think of the work that's being done in Port Moresby. Think of our brother Mark Mulder. We also think of Reverend Klein there and of the others who are working. We pray that this work may continue and be blessed, and that through it that your people can be encouraged in faith and that you would gather your church. Thank you for being a faithful God. Thank you for your love to us. Please bless us in the rest of this day, and please give us a good week. Please also grant, Lord, that the next week Sunday, when we meet together and when we celebrate the Lord's Supper, that it can be for the strengthening of our faith, that we're really encouraged of your love and kindness to us, and help us to be prepared for that event as well. In Jesus' name we ask, amen. So, brothers and sisters, the collection this afternoon is indeed for the work of mission in PNG. You have the opportunity to give your thank offerings to God at the door on the way out. But now, you're invited to rise together, and we're going to sing in thanksgiving from Hymn 85, the verses 1, 2, and 3. Receive now the blessing of the Lord. The Lord bless you and keep you. The Lord make his face to shine upon you and be gracious to you. The Lord lift up his countenance upon you and give you peace. Amen.